Welcome to Animal Voices on Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. I'm your host, Joanne Chang, here in the studio with Krista Truman, and our technician is John Pranger. Allison Cole will be on vacation for the next 2 weeks. On today's show, we'll have Twyla Francois, head of investigations for CETFA, Canadians for the Ethical Treatment of Food Animals, to talk to us about a report that is due out in a couple of weeks of focusing on the cruel and outdated chicken slaughter process currently used in Canada. Excuse me, I have a cold today. We originally had scheduled NHL vegan superstar from Montreal Canadian Georges Laroque to come on the show to talk about going vegan after watching the documentary Earthlings, but due to a schedule conflict, he is unable to come on today. George is of Haitian descent, and as you can imagine, it's been stressful for him when some of his family members are still missing. We're very sorry to disappoint listeners, but we'll try to book him again for a future show. George Laroque has been a very committed animal rights activist. He recently narrated a French version of Earthlings, which is available online at www.earthlings.com. Hi, Krista.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
I heard you're sick, though.
I am.
You haven't been following my vegan health tips.
Sometimes, you know, it's just unavoidable.
I know. I have children, so they go to a disease factory every day, a.k.a.
Right.
school, and
right.
bring everything home with them.
But, you know, vegans aren't sick all the time. You might think this by listening to us.
No, it's the time of year. I swear, we're just as healthy as anyone else, maybe even more so. Maybe we recover faster. That might be what it
yeah.
is. Yeah. So I guess I'm going to do the events this week.
Well, actually, what time is it now?
Oh, okay. We can just chat a little bit. I don't mind.
Well, I have a little something to share with the audience, actually.
Okay.
Something that I learned recently while reading the book Eating Animals by Jonathan Safran Foer. It's something that disturbed me for days after reading it. It's just one of those things that consumers never would even know about. It's a process called poultry water chilling. So I found out that at chicken slaughterhouses, after an animal has been killed, gutted, and their heads and feet removed, they're chilled in a giant refrigerated tank of water where thousands of birds are communally cooled. The birds, just prior to being dumped into this refrigerated water, had their guts messily removed, leaving traces of feces and contaminants on the carcass. Now imagine, when thousands of these carcasses are soaked in the same water, just how gross it can get. People in the industry nicknamed this giant pool of water fecal soup. Sounds delicious, doesn't it?
Mmm.
This fecal soup doesn't just chill the chicken. It serves as a moneymaker for the chicken producers. So how does the fecal soup make money? You ready for this? The
okay.
chicken carcass sits in this pool for hours, soaking up a bunch of this poopy water so that the water can be sold as extra weight on the chicken.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
So this is actually in the bird that you buy.
In the bird.
Oh, nice.
Up to 8% of the chicken's weight sold to you can be made of this fecal soup.
A very special marinade, courtesy the meat industry.
Yes. Well, it's a fast and easy way for them to make money from dirty slaughterhouse water, so why not? Although alternative to water chilling does exist, the process is called air chilling. It is not popular with producers. You can imagine why. According to Pat Weeb, owner of BC's Rossdown Farms, in an interview with Poultry Magazine, he said, water chill is far less expensive and a shorter process, but air chill is gaining popularity. But just the same, 98% of birds are water chilled. So what does that mean? If you eat chicken, there's a 98% chance that you're eating fecal soup.
Mm,
what do you think, Krista?
That makes me so not hungry. And usually I'm starving when we get here because I don't eat lunch before I show up. But that just, yeah. I'm done.
Yeah, you know what? I had an aha moment because a rescued chicken actually lived with us for 3 months, and we just let him run around the house. And whenever he pooped, we'd have to wipe up the poop with paper towels. And I've always noticed that the steaming hot poop that comes out of him smelled exactly like the smell of chicken boiling in a pot.
Oh, God, is that what that is?
Yeah,
oh,
that is.
No.
Well, enough of grossing people out.
Your daily gross out from Joanne Chang.
That's right. What have you got for us for events, Krista?
Okay, well, Allison normally does the events, but she's not here because she's off enjoying a fabulous vacation somewhere warm. If you're listening, Allison, hello, please bring us back presents.
Lots of presents.
I think she's kind of like our foreign correspondent now. When she comes back, she'll have a full report of vegan traveling for us, I hope. Anyway.
We should have sent her with a mic or something.
Indeed. She's really organized. So even though she's off supposedly enjoying a vacation, she made sure to print up a great list of upcoming animal-related and vegetarian-related events. So here we go. On Friday, January 28th, that's today, and every Friday, there will be fur protests at the Snowflake store at the Fairmont Hotel in Vancouver. That's at 900 West Georgia Street. Starts at 11 a.m. and goes till 1 p.m. every week. Every Friday, a group of individuals are taking part in a protest against the selling of fur at the Snowflake store at the Hotel Vancouver. If you'd like to get involved with these events, you can email Lori Fitzgerald at lpacificrim@yahoo.ca. Also tonight, Friday, January 29th at 6:30 p.m., there is an Earth Save Canada Readers Group dinner. It's going to be at Dharma Kitchen, which is at 3667 West Broadway. You can join the Earth Save Readers Group as they dine on delicious vegan food at Dharma Kitchen and discuss the book Building an Ark, 101 Solutions to Animal Suffering by Ethan Smith. You don't actually have to read the book to participate in the discussion. You can just go and meet people and socialize and enjoy delicious Dharma food. To RSVP, you just email readers@earthsave.ca. What's really exciting to me, unfortunately I'm not going to be able to be there, but I still think it's an awesome event, is there's going to be a free screening of the film Earthlings, hosted by Liberation BC. It's at the Vancouver Public Library, lower in the Alma Room, which is on the lower level, 350 West Georgia Street. Doors open at 2 p.m., this is tomorrow, by the way, and the film starts at 2:30. Earthlings is the most comprehensive documentary ever made about the relationship between humans and the other sentient beings on this planet. It is an eye-opening account of the day-to-day practices of the largest industries in the world, which rely entirely on animals for profit. The film is also narrated by my secret boyfriend.
No, he's mine.
Yeah, Queen Phoenix. For more information about the film, please visit www.earthlings.com. Actually, he went all weird a while ago, didn't he?
He did.
He's dropped off the face of the earth. He went totally wacky. I don't know.
Actually, a couple of days or last week, he did a public service announcement thing for Miley Cyrus. He did a video to raise money for this charity she's working on, and he's all clean shaven and normal again.
Oh, because see, I thought he was going to, he grew a beard and started wearing plaid and was going to be a rap star. Yeah. Nerdy white rapper,
that,
I guess.
That didn't work out for him.
Here's something that's really cool. On Thursday, February 4th, from 6:30 till 10 p.m., there's going to be a vegan bake sale at Radha Yoga and Eatery. And it's a benefit, actually, for Haiti.
That's fantastic.
Radha Yoga and Eatery is at 728 Main Street in Vancouver. Vancouverites are pairing up with Radha for a night of vegan baked goods, live music with Frazee Ford, she's from the Be Good Tanyas, who I love, and an art opening with all proceeds going to Haiti relief efforts. It's also all going to be held during Radha's dinner service from 6:30 till 10. So come for dinner or just come for the bake sale and bring home lots of baked goods. Bring your own Tupperware. This, I can't emphasize this enough. Mm-hmm. It's you're going to want to buy a lot. And so we're trying to reduce packaging and waste. And if you bring your own stuff, that will really help us out. And bring your friends. This is part of a worldwide vegan bake sale event where people all over the world are holding sales. Proceeds are donated to the Humanitarian Coalition. If anyone is interested in baking for the event, you're welcome to. All baked goods are free from animal products, including dairy, eggs, and honey. I, personally, will be bringing in some treats from my bakery, Vegan Mania. So you don't really want to miss out because, they're number one. So I think it's really great how we can gobble up fantastic vegan food and help out Haiti at the same time.
I'll be there for sure.
Yay. Well, I'll see you there then. Mm-hmm. On Thursday, February 4th at 6:15 p.m., there's going to be an all-you-can-eat buffet dine-out hosted by Earth Save Canada. It's at All India Suites at 6507 Main Street. All India Suites is an all-vegetarian buffet, and this will be a social gathering of people to get together and eat. Everyone is welcome. The cost of the buffet is $10.95. Eat as little or as much as you like. To find out more and to RSVP, go to meetup.com and search for Vancouver Meatless Meetup. Do I still have time here? Yeah, I'm not doing too bad.
Mm-hmm. You're good.
Vote for the Georgia Strait Golden Plate Awards. The Golden Plate Awards, for those who don't know, are annual awards that the Georgia Strait newspaper doles out every year for everything to do with food in Vancouver. And these awards are based on your votes, that is, the public's. So please vote for your favorite veggie restaurant on the awards ballot, which is located at www.strait.com/goldenplates, emphasis on veggie. Wednesday, February 10th at 6:30 p.m., the African Vegan Buffet Dinner Event. It's happening at Nyala Ethiopian Restaurant, 4148 Main Street in Vancouver. Join us for this tasty dinner event and meet veg mates and make friends. Most people come alone, so don't be afraid to come on your own. Oh, a veggie singles dinner.
Yum.
I'm not single. too bad, boys. Thursday, February 11th at 7 p.m., dine out at the Sabra Kosher Restaurant, 3844 Oak Street. This is hosted by EarthSave. EarthSave does so many of these amazing food events. Cost $21, including tax and tip for members, $24 for non-members. It's vegan and kosher. What more could you ask for? If you haven't been to Sabra Kosher Restaurant yet, you're in for an experience. Step back in time as if you're visiting your Jewish grandmother's living room. All right, so maybe she didn't have a soda cooler in her living room, but work with me here. Two appetizers, two entrees, dessert, and feeling as if you've left Vancouver, all for $21 for members, $24 for non-members, including tax and tip. If you have an animal or vegetarian-related event coming up that you would like to have announced on the show, please email us the details at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or post it on our Facebook page, which is called Animal Voices Vancouver. And now I'm going to turn the mic over to Joanne for our animal news.
Animal news. Okay, from the Toronto Star, a PETA protester hit Fisheries and Oceans Minister Gail Shea in the face with a tofu cream pie earlier this week as she arrived at the Canada Centre for Inland Waters in Burlington.
I like that it was tofu cream.
I know. She thought it was shaving cream, but, you know, PETA wouldn't do that.
No, because that would taste bad.
Yeah. Shea is the MP for Egmont, Prince Edward Island. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals said the attack was prompted by her support of the indefensible slaughter in an apparent attempt to curry flavor with the commercial fishing industry. A little tofu pie on her face is hardly comparable to the blood on Ms. Shea's hands, says PETA Executive Vice President Tracy Raymond. Raymond said it's time Canada banned the annual seal slaughter. When asked about her government's support for the seal hunt, Shea said, "As a government, we support the Canadian seal hunt, and we will continue to support the Canadian seal hunt. It is very important to our country, and it is older than any person in this room."
Well, I have to say I am a nonviolent person, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend that we go around throwing pies in people's faces, but I certainly understand where the very passionate feelings about the seal hunt come from, because I've seen the footage and the photos, and there it's absolutely disgusting to me as an animal lover. And I think there's a lot of misconception on the part of our government about what it actually contributes to our society.
Right. They actually just need it to win votes from those provinces. It doesn't really bring in any money for the fishermen. No. It's 1% of their income.
Yeah.
And it's a way they can support those provinces without having to focus on the real issue, which is the collapse of the fishing industry.
Yeah, exactly. And that they often go on about how it's the seals that are causing the fish to disappear. But anyone who knows anything about what's going on with commercial fishing understands that that's a huge joke. That's almost an insult to say something like that. There's no way the seals are causing the massive devastation in the oceans that we're seeing.
And there's a boycott going on. If you're not from Vancouver or from Canada, you can boycott Canadian seafood. And if you're in Canada and you own a restaurant, just boycott buying seafood from those provinces that support the seal hunt.
Or better yet, go vegan.
Go vegan, that's right. The next one is from Mercy for Animals. News broke this week on a new Mercy for Animals cruelty investigation on a dairy farm. In early 2009, an undercover investigator worked at Willett Dairy, the largest dairy factory farm in New York State, secretly documenting egregious acts of animal cruelty with a hidden camera. Evidence gathered during the investigation reveals cows with bloody open wounds, prolapsed uteruses, pus-filled infections, and swollen joints, apparently left to suffer without veterinary care. Downed cows, those too sick or injured to even stand, left to suffer for weeks before dying or being killed. Workers hitting, kicking, punching, and electroshocking cows and calves. Calves having their horns burned out without painkillers, and calves having their tails cut off without painkillers. Newborn calves forcibly dragged away from their mothers by their legs, causing emotional distress to both mother and calf. Despite the overwhelming evidence that the dairy operation repeatedly violates New York's animal cruelty laws, which was presented to the Cayuga County District Attorney by Mercy for Animals, the law enforcement agency refuses to uphold the state's laws to protect animals, allowing abuse to continue at will unchecked. Footage of this investigation can be viewed on mercyforanimals.org.
Did you see that video?
I tried.
Yeah, it's so hard to watch, and I actually posted about it on my personal Facebook, and some of my friends were like, I can't even watch 2 minutes of that. It's horrible, and, you know, it is, and like any other time videos like this have been released, the people who run the factory always say, oh, they found some isolated incidents, right, and this isn't the norm, and we're going to fire those workers, but how many of these undercover videos need to come out before people actually realize this is the industry standard? It mm-hmm. is not an isolated incident, and what I found most disturbing about that was actually that worker that he was talking about how when they have a bad day, they jump on the back of the cow and they punch its effing head in and they hit yeah. it with wrenches. And, you know, what kind of human being can do that and laugh about it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it takes, I don't think all of these people who work in these places are sociopaths, mm-mm. but it takes a certain, you know, disconnect from your compassion and feeling for other animals to be able to, first of all, treat animals so horribly. And I think it's necessary to work in that industry. You have to shut yourself off. Mm-hmm. And then to kind of laugh about it and expect the other people around you to participate in it like it's some kind of joke. And it's actually horrific. It's absolutely right. horrific.
And every time we're paying for cheese, cream, yogurt, we're paying for that kind of cruelty. Just because somebody else is paid to do those things, somebody else is making doing cruel things to animals, as long as you're paying for it, you're contributing to it.
It's like, you know, if you hire a hitman to kill your husband, you'll get charged with conspiracy to commit murder,
exactly.
right? So it's the same thing. You don't get off. And a lot of people are like, oh, I buy my stuff from a happy cow farm, and I know I've seen the farmers and blah, blah, blah. The truth of the matter is all of those cows go to the same slaughtering plant, right. whether they're raised on the happy farm or not. And yeah, dairy, I think, is actually responsible for more animal cruelty than the meat industry.
Right.
I mean, I don't like to rank yeah. things like that, yeah. but when you look at it from the perspective of babies being separated from their mothers, female cows being continuously impregnated and having their children taken from them, it's actually terrible. Anyone who's a mother would understand how absolutely horrific it would be mm-hmm. to have your newborn child ripped from your breast. And yeah, that's kind of why I really decided that veganism was for me after I had my kids.
And the majority of the casualties in the dairy industry is not the females that they use. It's the baby male cows that get dragged to slaughter and never spoken about.
Yeah, they're turned into veal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
thrown in the trash.
So milk equals meat. I think I read somewhere they were saying that milk is liquid meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in every glass of milk, there's a piece of veal.
That's right.
Okay, I think we're out of time.
Oh, we
news.
Went on our little dairy rant,
yes,
didn't we? Oh, well.
Did. Well, over to you for your vegan lifestyle section, Krista.
All right. Well, I think it's a ranty week this week because instead of my normal friendly chat about easy ways to go vegan and vegan lifestyle choices, I started to write this piece and I realized I had a lot of things to say and I had a lot of feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's gonna come off a little bit like, I don't know, I'm the Rush Limbaugh of the animal rights world or something. You are listening to 102.7 FM Co-op Radio. It's Vancouver's only non-commercial radio station. Our program relies on listeners like you to keep the station running by purchasing memberships.
Mm-hmm.
You can call 604-684-8494, extension 230, and we'll take your membership pledge. Make sure you mention Animal Voices when you sign up because we get bonus points among our colleagues for that.
That's right.
Today I want to talk about companion animals, aka pets. A few weeks ago, I discussed the pet food industry, which I hope was informative. Part of that was talking about the disgusting things that end up in commercially produced pet food. And one of the things that I mentioned that ends up in it is euthanized animals, including dogs and cats that come from shelters. And as disgusting as that is to think about, it relates to my topic today. That is, the initial decision to bring an animal into your home as a companion. Having a pet in your home can be a fantastic way to bring extra joy and love into your life. There have been innumerable scientific studies about the positive effects interacting with animals has on our well-being. Animals are often used in therapy for people recovering from mental and physical trauma. They're also used as mood boosters for people living in institutionalized settings like care homes. Animals are nice to pet and cuddle. They don't judge you. They can be loyal and affectionate. They listen to all of your woes and joys and accept you for exactly who you are. People form very special bonds with their pets, children especially. There are a million good reasons for you to have a special animal in your life to care for and to care for you. Unfortunately, the vast majority of people seem to bring animals into their lives and homes on a whim. While having animals in our lives can be very beneficial to us, there is no getting around the fact that animals, no matter what kind, have very important needs of their own. Food, shelter, play, exercise, loving interaction. It sounds simple when I say it like that, but the truth of it is they can take up an enormous amount of your energy and time. It seems a lot of people think if they put down a dish of food a couple of times a day, pet the animal for 5 minutes, and maybe take it on a walk around the block once in a while, they've done their part. Unfortunately, that is not true. Animals, even cats, who I consider to be the most laid-back, low-maintenance of all domesticated pets, require a great deal more care, especially as infants. And baby animals are the ones most likely to be brought home on a whim. Who can blame us? Kittens and puppies are the cutest of the cute. They're tiny and helpless. They're fuzzy and they need you. It seems the urge to hold and cuddle baby animals is hardwired into our brains. Seeing a tiny, shaky little kitten or a flop-eared, curious puppy in a pet shop window, looking at you hopefully, is impossible to ignore. Your first instinct is to pick the little one up and rescue him or her from the cage. There's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to bring home a little one with you either. The trouble comes when the decision is made on the spur of the moment, without taking stock of your current living situation or your finances. You also have to think very carefully about how much time you have to devote to this small creature's well-being every day, for the next 10, 15, or even 20 years. It's hard to imagine in that moment of cuddling a baby animal for the first time that someday in the future, the sweet, fuzzy creature will be old, more independent, develop behavioral issues like peeing on your bed, chewing your shoes, clawing your sofa, and possibly even getting sick. It's hard to imagine that one day in the future you may be looking at expensive vet bills and the long-term care of an animal that will need daily medication or treatment. It is the unpleasant side of having a companion animal. It's hard to imagine that someday you will have trouble finding a place to live because you can't have a pet there. It's hard to imagine you might have to move to a different country, or you may have a baby, or any other number of things that could come up that make having a pet difficult. But these are facts most people don't consider when they decide to get an animal. There are also things that are most likely to cause animals. These are the things that are most likely to cause animals to be abandoned. Surrendered to rescues and shelters. The dog doesn't stop chewing. The cat won't stop scratching. There's poop everywhere when you come home from work. Every time you do the laundry, the cat pees in the basket of clean clothes. The dog gets diabetes. The cat gets a respiratory infection. It's going to cost hundreds of dollars in medication and vet treatments, and you are living paycheck to paycheck. These are all situations I've found myself in. I have had companion animals almost my entire life, dogs, cats, hamsters, guinea pigs, and I can say unequivocally, there has never been a pet I've had that has not required medical attention several times through its life. This isn't counting the standard health matters we must take into account either, like spaying, neutering, vaccinations, flea treatments. No, every animal I've had in my life has had behavioral issues at some point, health problems, gotten sick, and gone on to pass away. I believe these are small prices to pay for all the ways animals bring joy and happiness into my life and into the lives of my children. Every time I've brought an animal into my home, I have done it with the understanding that these creatures are my responsibility for the rest of their lives, no matter how difficult it becomes. If only everyone believed the same thing. Every year in Canada alone, shelters like the Humane Society and the SPCA euthanize over 7,000 dogs and 44,000 cats. These are animals that have been abandoned, surrendered, or found straying from home. This is actually 50% of the animals that the shelters admit each year across the country. Wipe from your mind any notion of animals that you give up finding better homes. The fact of the matter is they have a 50-50 chance of being put to sleep the moment you drop them off, set them loose, or abandon them. Knowing the rather astonishing rate of euthanasia in our shelters, should we not now more carefully measure our decision to bring an animal home with us? Should we not research very thoroughly the animal's needs in terms of food, exercise, shelter, and attention? Should we not consider whether we will always have access to housing that will permit us to keep an animal? Should we not consider whether or not one day we'll have children in our home that could, may or may not jibe with having pets? Should we not consider we live with someone in the future who has allergies to pet dander? Should we not consider how much money we will have to come up with for visits to the vet, both routine and emergency? Should we not consider that someday the kitten or puppy will grow up to be a full-grown, somewhat less adorable animal? These are all excuses shelters and rescue organizations hear when animals are surrendered. These are all the things people do not consider before that impulse puppy or kitten purchase. And that brings me to my final point. It is my opinion, in my opinion, absolutely irresponsible of people, as the self-appointed guardians of all domesticated animals everywhere, to continue to support breeders of animals when over 50% of all cats and dogs born in Canada end up unwanted and killed in shelters. It is absolutely disgusting to think of dogs and cats suffering cruelly and needlessly in cages in shelters. It is irresponsible and short-sighted and cruel. Everyone who is considering bringing an animal companion into their lives and home needs to consider two very important things before making that decision. The first is, can you absolutely 100% commit to caring for this other living being for its entire natural life, even when it becomes expensive or supremely challenging? Believe me, even as a staunch animal lover, there have been moments when, after the bazillionth time of finding my furniture peed on, I have entertained the thought of getting rid of my cats. The second is, do you really want to purchase an animal from a breeder or pet store, all of which obtain their animals from breeders, knowing there are hundreds and thousands of animals who need homes just waiting at the local pound or shelter or local rescue organization for you to come and save them from certain death? Adopting an animal is a wonderful choice. You save a life, you improve your own life. It is also a huge responsibility, and one I think most people take too lightly. Do some research online before you decide to take on a dog, cat, or other small animal into your home. Consider the amount of work and money it requires. Consider that their needs will have to trump your own from time to time. Consider that these are living, breathing beings who will develop emotional bonds with you. They are not disposable toys, here for our entertainment and easy to throw away when we get bored or they become difficult or expensive. And please adopt from your local shelter or rescue organization. There are many in BC. Check out VOCRA, the Vancouver Orphaned Kitten Rescue Association. Call your local SPCA or the Small Animal Rescue Society, or just visit www.petfinder.ca. There are hundreds of animals looking for forever homes out there if you are looking for a forever friend.
Oh, thank you for that, Krista. I just have two things to say about that. Breeders, you know, people always say, oh, I go to a responsible breeder. But the fact is, there's no such thing as a responsible breeder. You can find all sorts of breeds in the shelters.
That's
because,
right.
Do you know where they came from?
The breeders.
Exactly. Yeah. So go to the shelter, you'll find the breed you want. And also, I always thought there should be a campaign to get people to adopt old pets. Because,
yes,
like you said, people have short attention spans. They can't commit for too long. Get an old pet.
Yeah.
You know, a 7-year-old, your commitment is 3 years.
That's
there you
right.
go. That's
yeah.
all you're going to commit
and
to.
And they're
that
the ones that are
anyway.
In the shelters, too, because everybody, when they're like, oh, I'm going to get a dog or cat, they want a puppy or a kitten.
Right.
And because they're cute, and I know they're cute, I love them too. But the fact remains that the infant animals are way more destructive on
right.
your house. You have to train a dog, a housebreak a dog, or house train a dog. And kittens, if they're taken away too soon from their mothers, won't know how to use a litter box. Their mm-hmm. moms teach them that. So, and it's an older animals, sometimes come with problems, but so do the baby ones. They need to learn too. And so if you've got a big heart and you want a pet, you got to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
My pleasure.
And now, on to something very exciting.
Mm.
We're doing our prize draw for the Vegetarian Cooking with Compassionate Cooks DVD.
Yes, we are. Where are they? There they are. Okay, I'll shake them up.
Okay.
We got three entries this week?
We had three entries, and the entries were from people who shared with us what their favorite vegan meals are. Do you want me to read?
Can we hear? Because okay. I love to talk about food.
Anne Berthesel says, there's nothing quite as good nor as aromatic as portobello mushrooms sautéed in olive oil with tons of onion. Yum. Simple. Mm, I like that.
I love mushrooms.
Ginger Sedlarova said, black bean and tomato soup with fresh asparagus, garlic, zucchini, mushrooms, and a little extra virgin olive oil, some dried herbs, and a shake of raw parma on top.
Yummy.
I know. That's a whole meal. Okay. And we had Sandra D., who said, I found a great recipe for vegan pho. I love it so much, I want to eat it all the time.
When are these people inviting us to their houses for dinner?
They should. Maybe that should be our next prize.
Call into the show. Invite us to dinner.
That's our next prize.
You get to make us dinner. That'll be awesome.
So the draw. Okay, and the winner is Sandra D.
Yay, Sandra Woo. D. We're coming to your house for vegan pho.
That's right.
Mm.
So we're going to be in touch with you soon to talk to find out how you want this delivered to you. Or
it's called Vegetarian Cooking with Compassionate Cooks, and it's a lovely looking DVD with a very pretty lady on the front.
Mm-hmm.
And cake.
Vegan cake. Yes. So you're listening to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. Okay.
The show is going well, I think.
Really? Without Allison?
We were worried because Allison's very organized and Joanne and I are not that organized.
We're a little bit more flighty.
Speaking of which.
We don't know what's going on now. Okay.
Oh, I think actually Twyla's on the phone.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yay, we have our
next... timed that just right.
That's right. Okay. So our interview today is with Twyla Francois, the head investigator for CETFA, Canadians for the Ethical Treatment of Food Animals. Twyla has investigated farms and slaughterhouses all over Canada, and she's here to tell us about the conditions she personally witnessed and Canada's outdated method of slaughtering chickens. Welcome to Animal Voices, Twyla.
Oh, thank you.
So,
I don't envy you your job, Twyla.
No, it's not a lot of fun.
No.
But sometimes we get to do rescues, and those are fun.
Good.
Well, in the media and on the show, we expose a lot of the cruelty practices that happen on U.S. farms and slaughterhouses. And we often hear people say, well, that's in the U.S., where they're far behind. We have a much better system here in Canada. Can you clarify for us once and for all, are animals treated better on Canadian farms than on farms in the U.S.?
Unfortunately, no. We're actually worse on all the different levels for farm animals. So on-farm practices, a number of the states in the U.S. have actually banned the intensive restraining systems like gestation crates and battery cages for laying hens.
Mm-hmm.
So about a 30% of their sows are no longer in those horrible crates. But in Canada, we're at maybe 5% aren't. And there's very little movement away from them. And even things like their transportation regulations are better than ours. So here, if you're a ruminant like a cow or a sheep, you can be transported up to 57 hours without food or water. In the States, it's 28 hours.
Wow.
So it's kind of interesting that, and even the slaughter plants as well, they have third-party inspections done by animal welfare groups. We don't have anything like that here. And the other thing that's was sort of dramatic for me when I went to the U.S. was they use almost no electric prods on pigs there, but here they're completely the norm. So, unfortunately, we kind of suck in comparison to the U.S.
Yeah, that I'm so glad that you're here to clarify that for us, because you know there's a misconception that Canadians are much farther ahead than the U.S.
And I think we will be. I think that once Canadians become aware of these things, they won't tolerate it, because we do tend to think we're more caring, we're more socialist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like shows like yours are so important, because when Canadians realize this, they aren't going to stand it.
Oh, thank you. And, of course, work from you is really important to expose this kind of thing. And speaking of which, SETFA is coming out with a report regarding slaughter systems in Canada and comparing it with other systems used in Europe. To start, can you explain to our listeners how the majority of chickens are slaughtered in Canada?
Yeah, it's really terrible. It's an electrified stun bath. So what happens is the chickens are pulled out of their transportation crates really roughly, and we'll talk about that later about what happens. They're live hung upside down, which puts enormous pressure on their hips and legs, and then their heads are dragged through a water bath that has an electric current running through it. But it's notoriously ineffective, and the vast majority of the birds aren't being rendered unconscious at all. All it's doing is immobilizing them. So they're fully conscious when the knife blade hits them, and actually even when they are put into the defeathering tanks, which is basically a vat of boiling water. And 1% of chickens in Canada are live scalded every single year. So we're looking at 6 million birds.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's a really horrible system, and, it seems like the rest of the world is moving away from them, but there's been very little indication that that's going to happen here.
And why do you suppose that the producers turned the electric stun bath to such a low level that it's not enough to render the animal unconscious?
Well, that was actually interesting, because I hadn't even been aware of... I knew that they were turning the power down. We didn't really know why. We were thinking, well, maybe they're just trying to save on their energy bill. But when we were invited to have a tour of a chicken slaughter plant in the Netherlands, and the Netherlands is interesting because exposés started happening showing that these birds were still conscious. It could be the exact same footage taken in Canada, but the people in the Netherlands didn't stand for it, and they screamed for change. So the government commissioned research by their largest university to determine, is it really working or is it not, the electrified stun bath. And this was just last year, at the beginning of last year. The researchers conclusively decided, no, it's not rendering them unconscious. It's against our federal humane slaughter regulations. And so by the end of 2009, they had instituted and legislated new regulations saying that electrified stun baths were no longer allowed. So we were invited to go and do a tour of a chicken slaughterhouse in the Netherlands that's moved from the electrified stun bath to carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about that, why are they turning the voltage so low? And what he said was interesting, and actually I'll even quote him, but he said there's a natural tension between animal welfare and meat quality when it comes to stunning poultry, as good meat quality without blood spots and bruising is only ensured when the voltage is low, too low to ensure a proper stunning. So they are knowingly turning the voltage down to get better meat quality, but knowing that it's not effectively rendering the birds unconscious. And this is happening at every chicken slaughter plant in Canada.
That's horrific. So they only have that electric stun bath in place because it's part of the regulation, is that why?
So the regulations say in Canada that whatever method is used, and whether it's a bird or an animal, they have to be rendered unconscious in a manner that ensures that they do not regain consciousness. So what we're pointing out in our report is, you know, we have the exact same humane slaughter regulations as the Netherlands. We have the exact same problems that they did when they had electrified stun baths as well. So why aren't we doing anything about it?
Right. Now, what are some of the problems you see with the current method of slaughter besides this electric stun bath issue?
The live hanging is a really big issue. So what happens is these birds, turkeys and broiler chickens, They're already genetically weakened. They've been bred to get really, really large in a very short amount of time, and their skeletal system can't keep up. So when we see them on the transport trailers, they're crippled. The majority of them can't stand properly. And so this really rough loading and live hanging is putting incredible pressure on their already painful skeletons. Mm-hmm. And they also receive pre-stun shocks from these electric baths. So, so especially with turkeys, because their wingtips hang lower than their heads. So even before they go through the bath, they're getting zapped.
Oh.
And the other thing, too, is the electric current causes heavy convulsions. So they're convulsing, their legs are breaking, their wings are breaking, they're getting blood spots from broken blood vessels.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's just this really ugly process all around.
Jeez, and I guess I was going to ask you about turkeys, because they raise these turkeys to be so big, and when they're hung, they must suffer a lot because
yes,
they're so heavy.
Actually, the turkeys are a big area that we've been focusing on, because the toms, the male breeding turkeys, can weigh up to 60 pounds.
Oh, God.
And that's actually 10 to 15 pounds more than a lamb, yet it's illegal to live hang a lamb. So it seems like birds are really being kind of left out in the cold, and quite literally, too. We just received Canadian Food Inspection Agency Freedom of Information requests. So we got a lot of paperwork on trailers that were being inspected, and they really are being left out in the cold. They're freezing to death. Up to rates of 37% of one trailer of the birds had frozen to death because the driver simply didn't put a tarp over them. And that trailer was marked as in compliance because it's just such a routine thing. And I think the problem is with birds, we're dealing in massive numbers. There's 600,000 chickens that are killed every year in Canada. 600 million. And so, you know, on every single trailer that we look at, there's between 7,000 and 10,000 birds just on the one trailer. So I think it's because they're smaller that we sort of discount them. But, you know, in fact, it's been proven that they're actually more sensitive than any other animals. Sensory nerve was discovered in their legs that no other animal has. So it's really incongruent with the suffering that they're having with what we should be thinking of for them.
And are these standards of transport and slaughter all the same, whether or not you buy from an organic farm, free-range farm, or a regular factory farm?
Yes, and that's the unfortunate thing. I know consumers are hoping to be, trying to be more humane in their purchases. But almost no program for organic standards or humane standards takes into account the transportation. The only program in Canada that does is the BCSPCAs.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, no. They're loaded just as roughly. They go to the exact same slaughterhouses. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what are some of the alternative methods of slaughter that you've discovered?
So what we went to Europe to look into was this controlled atmospheric killing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that plant was using carbon dioxide, which, to be honest, wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out why is that the brain has chemical receptors that recognize carbon dioxide. And so the birds really, they were suffocating, and their brain registered that as suffering.
Oh.
But there is an alternative. It's inert gases like nitrogen and argon,
mm-hmm.
and those we've been told are pretty amazing because they cause hypoxia, which is not registered in the brain as painful. They're knocked out. Descriptions I've seen about it are the birds sort of nod their head twice and then they fall where they stand. So this is really what we've been encouraging is controlled atmospheric killing with inert gases.
Great. So why do you think there's a resistance to switch over to a less inhumane method of killing when the technology already exists?
I think it's really just cost of installation.
Mm.
When we talked to the plant in the Netherlands, the cost was $1.6 million.
Mm.
So that's a little bit daunting, I think, for
yeah.
these big plants to consider. But he did tell us that they recouped that cost within 3 years because the meat quality is so much better. And that was interesting, like all of the benefits that, that they were listing. You know, here we're having a meeting with industry officials, and they were talking to us like they were animal rights activists. And this is the neat thing about Europe is everybody that's involved in the agricultural industry there, and we did tours on farms as well, but they were all really well-educated. They knew what, like, the latest research, what the science was saying. But, yeah, he was saying so they've recouped the money that they put into it because of the better meat quality. Better improvement in animal welfare is, yeah, fairly obvious. But he also said, like, the worker morale was better because there's less dirty work. You know, you're not dealing with these birds that are reviving. I mean, can you imagine being a slaughterhouse worker here, and you know that something like 35% of the birds are going to be reviving and flapping around in the scald tank? I mean, it can't make a person feel good, you know.
No, no, and that's why people that work in slaughterhouses suffer a lot of emotional trauma.
Yeah.
Are there health issues to human consumers when an animal is gassed as opposed to our current method of slaughter?
That's actually an interesting question because the government needs to be looking at this now that we have, you know, it just seems like it's skyrocketing that we're getting these foodborne illnesses. And salmonella has been directly tied to chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is pretty unbelievable. What happens is, a test was done and about 75% of the stun baths or the scald baths in Canada were tested. And 75% of them had salmonella bacteria. And they found out the reason it's in there and how it got in there is because the birds that have gone through the electrified stun bath haven't been rendered unconscious. They've gone through and partially missed the blades, and they enter the scald bath alive. They defecate in the water. That introduces the salmonella, and the salmonella bacteria gets picked up on the next 550 chickens that go through there. So, yeah, we've got this massive human health issue as well. There does seem to be a tie between if something is inhumane, It often does lead to some bacterial diseases in humans, too. And the other disease that's interesting is antibiotic resistance. The slaughterhouse in the Netherlands was able to no longer have antibiotic resistance staphylococci being inhaled by the workers because they're not live hanging the birds anymore. So that's kind of fascinating, you know, that this one improvement has had these, you know, chain reaction of better human health as well.
Wow. So it makes a huge difference whether or not the animal's struggling when they're going through the processes, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I was reading up on the CETFA material regarding killing animals using the gas chamber. I'm happy to see that there are improvements over the current method, such as the fact that the birds don't have to be live hang, as you said. However, the improvements seem conservative to me. Maybe it's because I'm a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I was surprised that this controlled animals atmosphere killing system still require animals to be handled and transported to the slaughter facility. Why couldn't they just leave these animals in the barn and just gas them?
Yeah, ideally, if we're looking at meat consumption, that would be the way to do it. But because there's such massive numbers that are being killed, I mean, the plant we toured and the average plant kills about 175,000 birds a day. And, of course, they have to be butchered and processed immediately. So I think any time we're going to have this mass consumption of animal products, we're always going to necessarily have this inherent cruelty of the transportation and the slaughter industry.
Yes, because it's probably not cost-effective for every farm to be attached to a slaughterhouse and all that.
Exactly, yeah. It's this massive machine. I mean, when I'm on investigation and I am sitting outside of a slaughterhouse, I actually put a video up on YouTube where I'm just driving by the lineup of trailers, and this was a pig slaughterhouse, But, I mean, it takes like 5 minutes of footage just to pass the trailers that are all lined up, you know, with thousands of pigs. And it just, it's this big, it's all become a big factory, you know, from on-farm to, you know, having thousands of animals in one small space to the transport system where you've, again, got thousands of animals in one small space and then again in the slaughter. It's the mass consumption of animal products that's causing all of this.
It's the sheer numbers. That's the most horrifying thing about it, I think. And I was reading a book recently called Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Wear Cows. And she brings up a really point that really rung true with me, which was we kill 10 billion animals in North America every year for our food. Where are they? Why can't we see them?
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, they're so hidden away, all of it. And, you know, even right now with the government programs of biosecurity, and, I mean, I imagine part of it really is the biosecurity. But at the same time, we've got thousands of animals on the road leaving their waste from the trailers, flying out, you know. And so I wonder how much of these biosecurity programs are really just to hide their secrets, you know. The worst thing that could happen to industry is, you know, the quote about if slaughterhouses had glass walls, more people would be vegetarian. And yeah, so I think that's part of it, is just hiding it all away.
That's right, because most of those trailers, they're not open, you know, you don't see the birds.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I think that's one thing that's interesting, like with a lot, it seems the average person comes to this with pigs in mind, and I think the only reason for that is because sometimes you see them on the road, and the pig producers, when they're hauling them, they have to leave the portholes open because pigs generate a lot of heat, and so I think people see them, you know, on the road, and that's one of the first animals they connect with.
They'd close them if they could.
Could, yeah, exactly, yeah. Like with horses, you know, with the transportation of horses and the horse slaughter industry. They go to huge lengths to prevent us knowing that they're horses on board and not cattle.
That's right.
It's kind of a bit sad, eh?
Can you explain some of the common problems with transporting, like, live animals, live birds?
Yeah, it's probably the most traumatic moment in every animal's life. So we've got things like freezing to death, which is, you know, really, really common with birds. And with sows, you know, the pregnant female pigs, if they're still lactating, they actually freeze to the sides of the trailers because they're metal trailers. And the loading and the unloading is always done so brutally here. You know, when the birds are being loaded, one thing that is so common is dislocated femurs. And, you know, you think of it, okay, it's a dislocated femur, but what happens is the femur actually pushes its way up into the abdominal cavity. The birds bleed to death. And so we frequently see birds on trailers. They're bleeding from their mouth, and this is why. And the suffocation, they frequently overload these birds. The trailers are made for about 7,000, but most have between 9 and 10,000. And the four-corner rule, there's actually a rule for transporters to follow that they're to leave all four corners empty, because those are the birds that are always at risk of freezing to death. But I've never, ever seen it in practice. Mm. And one of the other problems with birds is the way that they're loaded, the crates that we use here are particularly terrible. They're top loading through a small hole. So the birds are literally thrown into, like, slammed into the crates. If any of them try to come up, the workers punch them back in. And then they put the next container on top of that container. So those birds are no longer accessible at all. And that's actually illegal according to our transport regulations that stipulate that every animal must be fully accessible at all times of transport. So, you know, the birds have been completely overlooked, even though every single day we're in contravention of it. So we're working with lawyers on that right now as well. And, you know, all of this is so different in Europe. The transport trailers there are insulated. They have heating. They have forced air ventilation. They have onboard watering systems, which is unbelievable.
Wow.
I was actually invited by the Italian government to do a check stop border inspection, the border of Italy and France. And there was 5 police officers, 3 veterinarians, and me, and they stopped every single trailer and just scoured it. And you compare that with here, I mean, I've followed I don't know how many animals that have been downers, and I've called government officials to call it in. I get laughed at, and I've followed downers through the border even after they've been so-called inspected. You know, it's in our times as well, you know, these ridiculous transport times. And in Europe, it's a maximum of 8 hours,
mm-hmm.
you know, so... Yeah, we really, it's really terrible here, and it's at every single step of it.
That is certainly very eye-opening. Thank you, Twyla.
Thanks, Twyla.
Just about out of time now. Thank you for being on Animal Voices.
Oh, you're welcome.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Animal Voices on 102.7 FM, Co-op Radio in Vancouver. Thanks a lot for tuning in. We'll be back next Friday with my kids.
Woohoo! Vegan kids.